the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
And God and not the
Okay, we almost didn't have a PowerPoint waiting on me. I really thought we were going.
It's more of a distraction, really.
But we'll have some pictures of that if someone wants to look. So I was asked to give a topic about science and the Bible, how the two relate or not relate. And this is a very controversial topic because it's a topic that's been in the news for as long as I can remember, since I was in elementary school. So they actually had elementary schools when I was that young. And it's not a new topic, but it's a topic that our church doesn't tackle that much, actually. But it's a topic that we need to know because the kids, every single day, in Sunday school classes and youth meetings, ask this question. In fact, last night, we had a Bible study for middle school girls, and I was asked that question. How can we say the Bible is real and not some fictional thing? When we, in school, we're learning about all these scientific theories, and the two don't click, and our teachers tell us this is a lot of just like stories for children and stuff like that. So this is a topic that as future servants, you absolutely need to know and dot your I's, cross your T's. There's no gray area. You can't. Or otherwise, you have to tell the kids, sorry, I'll have to get back to you. So today, I'm just tackling a small piece of it, and that is the story of the creation in the book of Genesis. There were a couple of books written about this by Pope Shenouda, and I think Abuna Tedros has a book out there too. It's really more of a small pamphlet. Unfortunately, a lot of times these books, if you're an English reader like me, they're not very good books because the translations are very literal and it doesn't make sense. So I actually had someone read it for me in Arabic and translate it. I had to translate it on the spot. Because a lot of the actual books are not that good. Not because the writers didn't do a good job, but because they weren't written in English originally. So what I want to do today is read through chapter 1 in the book of Genesis. And what we're going to try to do is show how a lot of the scientific facts, not theories, but facts that are out there, that are taught in the schools, actually relate very well to the book of Genesis. And of course, it's actually the scientific stuff that came after the book of Genesis. So we need to understand that. A couple of things we want to come out with today. you can try to remember some of the facts as much as you can. But more importantly, the things that we need to leave with here today is number one, is we're going to prove that the Bible, at least the first chapter of the book of Genesis, because that's all we're focusing on today, is written by the hand of God. Absolutely, no questions asked. That's not a theory, and you'll see why. Also, we're going to show that all these scientists that came hundreds and thousands of years later came up with these ideas not out of the clear blue. Okay, God's hand is always in that as well. So we'll open to chapter 1. If you can go to the next slide. Yeah, it's going to be a little touchy on the iPad. But the book of Genesis, we know, was written by Moses. Now, Moses lived many, many years after the creation. What was Moses? What did he do as for a living? Anyone know? I hope someone knows. What did he do for a living?
Tended sheep.
He was a shepherd, okay, in the field. He didn't go to, you know, Columbia University. He didn't study science. He didn't know any of this stuff. All he knew about was sheep. And maybe when he was in Egypt, he knew a little bit about Egyptian law and the monarchy there. So he wrote the book of Genesis. And when we read the book of Genesis, I'm going to start reading from verse 1. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. The earth was invisible and unfinished. And darkness was over the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Now, a lot of us have read this before, and we just skim right over it, and that's nice, and we go to the next thing. What troubles me is that we read a lot of this and just skim over and go to the next chapter, and we don't spend the time to really understand what that means. So the first verse, when it talks about God was hovering over the face of the water, there's a little bit of a significance there. Go to the next slide. So, in the first day, scientists tell us that the Earth, when it was created, was so hot. In fact, it was about 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, the temperature of the Earth. It was so hot that everything was just gases and vapor. It was moisture floating around in the air. So, the book of Genesis starts with God hovering over the face of the deep. So what was that? The earth was just moisture. It was a ball of moisture. And scientists tell us that the earth was originally a ball of gases and moisture. Okay? What a great discovery that is. It was already written thousands of years ago in the book of Genesis. So it was gathering of vapors. It was 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was dark. Why was it dark? Because there was no sun. Okay? One of the things, and I have to teach a little bit of science here. I hope that I can remember. If you know astronomy, or some of you have probably learned about the planets and formation of the stars, when a star is born, when it's formed, it's first what they call a red star. So when you look in the sky and you see all these stars, those stars are tens of millions of years old. Okay? By the time a star becomes like the sun, that yellow and that bright, it takes millions of years for it to develop. So when a star is created, it's a red star, it really doesn't have any light. If you look from a telescope, you'll see some stars that are very dim. They barely give a light. I happen to have a telescope. You know, I'm a little geeky sometimes. But I have a telescope. And some of the stars are very dim. Those are stars that are only 3-4 million years old. So they're very young. So they don't shed light. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this. The stars go through different stages. And they get brighter as the years go by. If you go to the next slide, I'm going to continue reading. So the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light. It was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning on the first day. Now, there's a reason why I brought the star thing. Because a lot of non-believers will tell you, the Bible contradicts itself. It repeats itself. It makes no sense. Because you're going to go a few days later in the creation, and then God again creates light. There's light. But he said that already in day one. What's going on? It's like Moses didn't know what he was doing. But he did. Because when God created light, he created the sun, but it was still a red star that doesn't shed light yet. But it's a star. It's the beginnings of light. So there's light and darkness. And this is all, by the way, we can talk about this for a year. So I'm just giving you a flavor of this. And actually, I just want you to know something. That I gave this to the middle school girls. But I gave it a very watered-down version of it. And it made them more enthusiastic to read the book of Genesis. That's what I'm hoping we do. If nothing else, my goal is to make you more enthusiastic about reading the Bible and thinking of it in a different way. That it's not just some boring book where some shepherd wrote some words that make no sense. Okay? So then we're going to the second day now. We're in verse, if you want to follow along, we're in verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the water from the water. Firmament. Did anyone ever look up that word when they read the book of Genesis? I guarantee you, not many. Because if you look up what that word means, the whole book of Genesis takes on a different feel. Firmament means, translated in the New Dictionary, means atmosphere. How would Moses know what firmament is? People didn't even know what an atmosphere was until the 20th century. Thousands of years, 5,000 years after Moses. But he writes about firmament, which means atmosphere. Not only does he write about atmosphere, but he said it divided the waters from the waters. What does that mean? Can anyone guess what that means? Since we know now what that word firmament means? Yes.
Maybe like the water vapor and versus the regular.
Exactly, vapor. Exactly. Knowing, this is someone who knows exactly what an atmosphere over the earth is. It divides the waters, which the earth was all water, from what's above the atmosphere, which is the moisture in the air and the gases. This is unbelievable. When I read about some of this, and I'm like, where was I 30 years ago? Even though I'm only 25. But 30 years ago, I read this, and I didn't get this. And the problem is, when we don't understand this, and you sit in a college freshman class, and a liberal professor comes to you and tells you, the Bible is science fiction, it was written for little kids, you will say, yeah, you're probably right, this makes no sense. Why? Because you didn't take time to understand the Bible, the scripture. So firmament, the atmosphere divided the waters from the waters. That could be a test question. So God made the firmament, God divided the water under the firmament from the water above the firmament. So God called the firmament heaven, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning, the second day. Now, this whole thing about the days, just so we understand something. When a star is born, and it's a very tiny star, and the earth was all vapor, its rotation was much different. Scientists have said that's a fact. Okay? So the rotation of the earth doesn't take 365 days. Because it's vapor, the sun is much smaller, okay? So it takes a lot longer for it to go around, okay? It takes a lot longer. So a day here is not necessarily 24 hours. Because there's still no daylight or evening. They're calling it day and evening because there is a star out there. But there's no real light as we know it today. Okay? So the whole idea of day and night is a little bit different. Okay? You'll understand as we go further. See, this is why I don't care about PowerPoints. I don't even know where we are.
Yeah. So the sun, is that the oldest star and it's twice the brightest?
It probably is. But there are other bright stars, but not as bright as the sun. Of course, we've never ventured beyond, you know. But as far as we know, it is one of the brightest stars.
Yeah. How come the sun is living on that long, but other stars, which is how the sun started to die after a certain amount?
There may have been stars before. But I'm not, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, there may have been other stars. But we're talking about the creation of the earth right now. Okay. Were other things created before? That's a bigger topic. But right now we're talking about the creation of the earth as we know it. Yes.
If God was there, why was there darkness?
No, darkness as it's in dark, it's actually dark. As you shut the light and it's dark. But it doesn't mean God darkness, that there was like evil. You're confusing darkness from darkness.
I mean, if God was there, why was it dark?
Like light dark.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't there light? Because God is.
Okay, you see, now you're getting into philosophical things.
Yeah, but even when he was there, came.
Yeah, but you, guys, you see, this is where we get in our own way sometimes when we read the scripture. Honestly, we get in our own way. Why? Because we try to philosophize things so much that we miss the point.
Okay.
The point is that he's creating the earth, right?
Yeah.
we could start talking about the light and darkness and evil and good and all of that, but it takes away from, because that's a question, by the way, that someone that's an unbeliever, I mean, I'm glad you asked it, will ask you that question. Okay. It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it.
And how would you reply to that?
And how would you reply? You would reply that he's not. We're not talking here about the presence of good and evil.
I'm not talking about good and evil. I'm talking about the presence of light. Since God is there, why, like, we believe that God is light.
Right.
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 So why would...
Do we have darkness today?
It's just the absence of light.
That's what we're talking about.
You answered your own question.
No, that's okay. That's a good question. I'm just trying... I want you to understand. Is it dark outside right now?
Yes, it is.
Is God present?
God is everywhere.
So that's it's a good question. I don't want to, you know... But I just want... Okay, that's philosophy now. But we can talk after, though. I appreciate questions, but the idea is not to stumble me necessarily. The idea is I just want you to learn as much as we can with my limited knowledge, okay? Because I don't know everything. But we could get Abuna after and ask him, but then don't tell him I told you. So it was good, and there was evening and morning and the second day, right? Then we get into the third day, verse 9. Then God said, let the water under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. The water under the heaven was gathered into its place, and the dry land appeared. So God called the dry land earth. Okay? And the gathering together of the waters, he called sea, and God saw that it was good. Now, the whole idea of the water gathered together in one place, and the land gathered together in one place. Does that sound like anything you've ever learned about in school?
Can you repeat the question?
The question is, the whole idea of the waters gathering together in one place, right? And the land gathering together in one place. Have you ever learned about anything like that in school?
Yeah. Pangea.
Exactly.
Big Island.
Exactly.
All the continents?
Yeah.
One.
Exactly. So scientists tell us, and actually if you look at a map of the world, you see that the continents, if you took them, they'd fit together almost perfectly, like a puzzle. So scientists discovered thousands of years later that originally the earth, all the land was one piece, and the waters were one piece. But it's already telling us that in the book of Genesis. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. These are discoveries that were made thousands of years, not that long ago, by the way. But take a look when you go home, open up a map or Google it, and you'll see that the continents all almost fit together like a puzzle. So they work together, and they're still separating, by the way. That's why we have earthquakes and volcanoes, because the continents are still separating very slowly. We can't see it, but it causes cracks in the earth. It causes volcanoes. It causes all of that. Yes. You can ask me a science question again?
It's a comment. It's like, they said in a couple thousand years that California will eventually become like
break
one,
off.
Big, one big island.
Yeah, it'll break off because the continents are still actually separating. But this, to me, this is one of like the most interesting things in the book of Genesis. How Moses would have known that the waters were together and the land was together. Okay? That will be a question on the test, if there is a test. Then, if there is a test, okay. I was told there's a test.
You said a lot. What was the question?
I'm so glad I don't have to take the test.
You said a lot.
So I'm just saying is that in day three, God said that Moses wrote that the waters were together in one piece and the land was together in one piece. Okay. And this is a scientific fact.
Okay.
Then God said, let the earth bring forth the herb of grass bearing seed according to its kind and likeness. Let the fruit tree bear fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind on earth. It was so. Thus the earth brought forth the herb of grass, bearing seed according to the kind and likeness. The fruit tree bore fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind on earth. God saw that it was good, so evening and morning were the third day. So, what is God creating here? Did any of you ever set up a fish aquarium?
Yeah.
An aquarium for fish? What do you do when you set up the aquarium? Because these are things Moses would not have known anything about. Yes. What would you do first?
Well, first you get the tank, which is the place, and
okay.
then
yeah.
you put all the rocks on the bottom, which is the ground, and
right.
then plants and stuff like that, and then
well,
the water, and then
right.
people living in it, all the fish.
Right. So basically, even when you're setting up like a fish tank, I used to set up when I was younger what they called the terrarium, and you put these little geckos or whatever, lizards in there, and you would take your time because you had to make sure the soil was perfect, because if the soil wasn't perfect, you couldn't put the plants. If the plants weren't perfect, you couldn't put the water. Then you had to put the water and let it sit for a while so that the temperature could be just right. Because if you put the animal in there, if the water temperature was not just right, if the plants weren't in the ground just right, they would die the next day. I've killed many fish when I was little. They went down the toilet, okay? And because I wouldn't wait for the water temperature to be just right. God here is creating for us the perfect atmosphere. He's taking his time. He creates the dim light first, because the original plants, and that's another scientific fact, original prehistoric plants, plant life, when they found fossils, are not the same kind of plants we have today. They're plants that required a lot less moisture, required more moisture, but they required less sunlight. You know, like if you have, like the whole thing about if you have a pool, okay, and you have a pool cover. I know because I go through this headache every year. You have a pool cover, and the sun is hitting on this cover, right, all winter long. Plants actually grow. It's called algae. Grows in the water. It doesn't require very much light. It doesn't require that much heat. It requires a lot of moisture, and it grows. A plant life. So that's what's happening here. The early plants are beginning to form the land, the base of the land. So plants are coming out at this stage now to get us ready. To get food ready, oxygen ready, all these things. Then God said, let there be, we're on verse 14. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven for illumination to divide day from night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for illumination in firmament of heaven to give light on the earth. Notice something here is happening. What's happening here? Fourth day.
The sun is giving light.
Now the sun is becoming much brighter, even though God created light in day one. Right?
What's different? In day one,
because
the light is
right.
different, and fourth day is
because,
sun.
Because now the sun is growing. It's becoming a different kind of a star. This is scientific fact. It gets brighter and it gets bigger. So what happens is now the plants can start to grow. And now he says here, let now there be seasons. He didn't say let there be seasons before. So now you're going to have winter and summer and spring and fall, which didn't exist on day one. Because now the sun is becoming more like the sun that we know, the yellow star. And now you have day and night. He didn't say you had day and night and seasons and all of that. He didn't talk about seasons at all till the fourth day.
In the first day.
What's that?
This light only in the first day. This light
is very dim light.
Yeah.
It's not like the sun that we have today, right? And that's unfortunate. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, we actually have to understand science sometimes. Because when people ask questions, that's how they trick you. Okay, people throw scientific facts at you, and they try to make it that science is much more superior than scripture. And my whole point today is not that what you remember, you know, you're going to have to read this again on your own. My whole point is when you read the Bible, when you read the scripture, read it carefully. If there's a word you don't understand, you need to look it up. I get very upset when I see the kids reading, but yeah, I don't understand this word, and they skip the page. Every single word here, as you've noticed, we're only on verse 15, and we've been here for almost an hour. Because every single word has a meaning. You can't skip a word when you read the scripture, by the way. The word firmament, I'm sure a lot of people skip right over that. Yeah, whatever, that's some old English thing. And they skip it. And that is a critical word to understand. Okay? So, then God made two great lights and the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. So now the earth, the sun is becoming a sun. The moon is created, right? So now we have the light of the day, a light of the night. Okay? Keep losing my place. And the light to rule the day, the night. He made the stars also, God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over. God saw that it was good, so evening and morning were the fourth day. Now, we get into some more juicy parts here. Okay? Then God said, let the waters bring forth creatures having life, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of heavens. Firmament. It was so. Thus God made great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded. Yes?
I have a question. Now that the sun is technically fully out, are the days 24 hours?
It's not fully out yet. There's day and night, but for a star to become fully, I'll point it out when this happens. It's becoming brighter. It has like several stages, the star. I wish I would have brought that, but it has like five or six different stages, a star's birth. Yeah.
But doesn't this whole process, because they say that the Earth has been around for like a billion years, or not the Earth, but microorganisms and all that stuff. So, does the Bible agree with the whole billion years thing, or?
Okay, it's not the Bible that agrees or disagrees, it's us that agree or disagree.
No, I mean, is
right.
The Bible, like, are they
Can it be true?
I'm going to be sent to Siberia any second. Okay. So here's the answer to that. So in the creation, okay, this is the way scientists try to trap us, okay, because these are all good questions. I tell you, there's no way a sun goes from a red star to a yellow star in 24 hours or in 3 days, right? And we're going to say, yeah, you're right. This has got to be science fiction. Okay? However, we know that stars, I mean, you could see them in the sky. It takes millions of years for a star to develop. It does. I mean, that's a fact. So, when you read the story of the creation, we have to understand that from day one to day two, it could have been millions of years.
Yeah.
A day was not 24 hours in. Right?
Yes, it could be possible. Yeah.
Now, there are people, I'm just going to take like the first, okay? There are people who will tell you, no, I am wrong, it's fine, that it really was 6 days. There are. And that is when we get in our own way. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we, as Christians, get in the way of people accepting the faith. We should just get out of the way. But these are the kind of questions we get trapped on, and it has nothing to do with our faith. But that's another topic, you know, maybe I'll get invited or not, depends.
Yes.
I may be in another country.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be in Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
It says elsewhere in the Bible that, you know, for God, a day can be 1,000 years. So.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, and the other thing is, I was going to add to that, is that the study of time, most of the physicists today, they kind of believe that time is almost an illusion. And what they're saying is, because the universe is expanding, it went from an organized beginning to, even in Earth terms, a Big Bang type of thing, and an expansion. And it's the expansion that gives the perception of time moving forward. So, in those stages of creation,
we
may not have had the expansion of, we know that the universe is expanding, and that may not have taken place yet.
So,
we don't have time really as we know it. These are scientists that have, this is the most recent trend with physicists and what they believe, that it's the expansion of the universe going from a beginning of an organized state to what they call disorganized, and that expansion gives the illusion of time moving forward. At that point in creation, you wouldn't have had that.
Time is because it was still expanding. Even the Earth itself was still forming in a different way. But I want to touch upon something else here on the what we just read here. So God created the birds and the sea creatures, and then He created great sea creatures.
That's in day 5, right?
Are we in day 5? Yeah, day 5.
Yeah,
right? Oh, you need to go to the next. Thank you. Yeah, sorry, I don't have a remote. So, this whole idea of swarms in the waters and birds, okay? We know, scientists tell us, the old creatures, again, when you look at fossils that are tens of thousands and millions of years old, you only find sea creatures in the fossils. You don't find land mammals at all. But you do also find birds, flying creatures, okay? The great sea creatures, actually, something interesting here about these great sea creatures, because God doesn't bless them. What do you think those were? Yeah, I have a picture there. These were the dinosaurs, okay? God created the dinosaurs, right? They didn't appear out of some evil thing. God created those. And even those were created for man's benefit. Everything right now is being created for the ultimate creation, for man's benefit. How were dinosaurs for man's benefit?
Fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels, right? None of you would be driving cars today without dinosaurs. They're not in the same place. This is day 5. Right. They're not going to be in the same place. And they couldn't be, right? So God was setting everything up, even the creation of the great creatures, for man, for man's benefit. And I am sure people read again this first chapter, and they're like, yeah, those were, whatever, and skip to the next thing. He created the dinosaurs. And we can't say dinosaurs didn't exist, because they did. There's fossils, there's museums, and we have fossil fuels. Again, it was created for man's benefit. I know we're running late, so I'm going to try to move. So He creates the great sea creatures. And then God said, and this was the fifth day, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, the quadrupeds, the creeping things, and the wild animals of the earth, according to their kind. I'm skipping a little bit.
Oh, okay.
According to their kind. It was so. So God made the wild animals of the earth according to their kind, the cattle according to their kind, and all the creeping things on earth according to their kind. God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Okay? Notice something here. He creates now the cattle, the quadrupeds, specifically mentioned. Okay? And now He's ready to create man. So, again, it's following exactly scientific fact. The dinosaur, the sea creatures came, flying birds came, dinosaurs came, then mammals came. And it tells us this in the book of Genesis. So the scientists are a little too late, because this was already written thousands of years ago. So he blesses them, he blesses the mammals, he blesses the cattle are mentioned specifically, quadrupeds are mentioned specifically. And God said, create, you know, and bear, you know, multiply. And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heaven, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. Did anyone miss something here?
Yes.
What?
The great creatures.
He didn't say have dominion over the great sea creatures. He mentioned the fish. He mentioned the birds. He mentioned the cattle. He mentioned the creatures on the earth. And skipped just the great sea creatures. Because they're gone.
What?
They're gone. The dinosaurs are gone. So man can't have dominion over them. What I'm trying to show you here...
I don't get it.
You don't get it? Well, are there dinosaurs outside?
No.
I hope not. But so what God is saying is very funny. But what God is saying is basically he tells man, right, when he creates man, have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, creatures moving over the earth, and does not mention the great sea creatures.
They were gone.
Because they're gone.
Okay, I get that. But why were they gone?
Because they turned into dinosaurs, and dinosaurs are extinct.
They died.
Why were they extinct?
Yeah, the book of Genesis doesn't talk, but there's a lot of theories about that. But the point is, right, is that the story of the creation is 100% in agreement with scientific fact. What I'm trying to show you is that it's the scientific facts that came after the story of the creation, not the other way around. Yes?
What about the biggest thing? Everybody.
Yes, thank you. And I was hoping no one would ask that question, but I'm glad you did. I was trying to run quickly. So here's the thing about evolution, okay? So scientists, by the way, evolution is a theory of evolution. It's not a fact about evolution.
A scientific theory is something that is actually proven.
No, theory can never be proven.
Not proven.
It's just never proven.
Yeah. But let me that's fine. Let me try to answer as much as I can. And my knowledge is limited because this is a slippery slope. Okay? Very slippery. So here's the thing. Scientists, actually I was at the Museum of Natural History over the summer, the American Museum of Natural History. Not the one in New York, the one in Washington, D.C. The Museum of Natural History, not the American Museum. And I was talking to one of the professors there. I tend to do that, I don't know why. But my kids were embarrassed and they walked away. But he was telling me, because he was doing this demo, he had these two skulls with him. One that looked like kind of an ape-looking head, and another one that was Homo sapien, man, right? Like us. So I asked him afterwards, because I missed the lecture, and I asked him, what was the topic about? And he said, well, recently we've discovered that these ape creatures existed at the same time as man. Same time. Because, you know, they do, they know how to figure out the age of things, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Carbon dating.
Carbon dating, right. And they are finding now that the ape creatures, that what they called were ancient man, existed at the same time as Homo sapien. So I asked him, so what does that mean? He said, well, what that means is there were two different creatures. That one didn't come from the other. These aren't my words. This was a big professor in Washington, D.C., honest. And he's saying to me that they existed at the same time. To me, he was just saying that, yeah, this is interesting. To me, this wasn't just interesting. This proved that evolution goes out the window. Because if the ape creatures that everyone keeps saying, this is how man developed, and now you're telling me they lived at the same time, This was some kind of ape creature, and this was man, living at the same time. In fact, they found campsites, okay, unfortunately, but man was a hunter. They found campsites with bones of Homo sapien and these ape creatures on the fire. So they were cooking them and eating them. Man. So these were not man.
Yeah.
It sounds a little drastic, but that's what happened. So the whole thing...
I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Man ate apes and...
Well, I mean, that's... I'm just... I'm not saying it's a pleasant thing, but, you know. But the...
I got it now.
Yes.
So, like, why doesn't everyone know about that? And, like...
They should, because people have read what they read 30 years ago and haven't updated themselves. Just like, why doesn't anyone know, guys, why doesn't anyone know, that's a good question, that the story of the creation, chapter 1, first page of the Bible, states the scientific facts word by word. Why doesn't anyone know? Because no one reads it. Forget about teaching. We don't read it. We read it and skip over it. I can't tell you how many people read things. Yesterday we were reading, and I won't say what age group, but you know what age group. We're reading the book of Esther. How many verses the girls just skipped over? Yeah, I don't understand what that is. Skipped right over. And I'm like, you can't skip that verse, because that verse connects the entire chapter. You skip that verse, now the story of Esther sounds like a children's story. You've just destroyed it. And this is how people of other faiths trap us. As a matter of fact, I was telling the girls a story yesterday, 3 days ago, okay? A Muslim girl at work, okay? Pakistani Muslim girl, okay? Comes up to me and says, Sharif, you know, I'm really into it. I'm always cautious, you know, this, I'm at work. I see how some Christians behave, but I also see other Christians behave differently. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she said, well, some of them, when I ask them about the Bible, they just blow me off. They blow me off. I really want to know. I really am interested in knowing. And I ask them, and their answers are not convincing to me. And I'm feeling like it's because they probably never read the Bible, and that's why their answers are not convincing. However, I've talked to other Christians. Of course, me and her have had lots of discussions. Let's put it that way. And you bring up things like this, and I actually brought this up to her. I had discussed this with her, the story of creation. And she's like, I've never... That's unbelievable. And I connected some of the prophecies in Isaiah to the New Testament. And she's like, no one ever explained that to me. I've asked so many Christians over the years, and no one could explain that to me. That's what makes the New Testament valid. If you don't read the Old Testament, the New Testament makes absolutely no sense. Why did Jesus come? I have no idea. We wouldn't know. So anyway, she at the end of the conversation asked me to get her a Bible. And I will get her a Bible. But the point is I told her this. And this is actually, so I'm talking to someone that is not of the faith. But I'm talking to you to show you why we trap ourselves and why I keep saying we get in our own way when we try to preach the word. I told her, please do me a favor, Sarah. Don't read this Bible unless you are being guided with someone. Don't just read it, because that's how you will fall. You need guidance. And she said, you're my guide. So now I have another job. But the point is, this goes for us as well. When we read the scripture, please do not, if you're just going to read it and rush through it and close the book and go to sleep, please don't read it. I request of you, beg of you, don't read it. Because this is how we get in trouble. All we discussed today was chapter 1 in the Bible. It took us over an hour. And I just skimmed the surface. By the way, the treasures that are in the scripture are like unbelievable. And as I get older and I read the same chapters over again, Because, by the way, you never finish reading the Bible. Anyone who says, yeah, I'm finished, I'm done, I'm 40 years old now, I can retire, you're in trouble. Because every time you read the scripture, every single time I've read the book of Genesis, I told you, I read the book of Genesis probably 20 times before I realized, wow, this is unbelievable. But sometimes you need guidance. Sometimes you need, you know, I'm sure Mary tells you this, as servants or future servants, you have to read other books too. You have to have a guide. Someone who guides you. It could be a buna, could be a servant, could be your parents. But please don't let it be someone in school, because probably you will go the wrong way. Okay, because they don't know any more than you do. So, yes.
I recommend the Orthodox Study Bible to anyone who clearly describes.
That's what I'm using.
Every verse.
It's really good. Yeah, the Orthodox Bible on the bottom here. The footnotes are unbelievable. However, with the Orthodox Bible, though, just one thing to understand. If you're going to use the Orthodox Bible, everyone here has to use the Orthodox Bible, because the King James Version, first of all, has less chapters in the Old Testament, number one. Number two, as you're reading, like, for example, yesterday I was reading the book of Esther, chapter 4, and I kept reading, and I realized everyone else was holding King James, and chapter 4 was finished, and I was still reading chapter 4, because it had another, you know, like, page and a half left. So that's the only thing. The Orthodox Bible is really good, but then we all have to be consistent. The problem is that even here in our church, if one person has the Orthodox Bible, like me, and everyone else is holding a King James and a New International Version, and it's going to be chaos. So if you're going to study the Bible, make sure you stick with one book. This is why I don't recommend people use the Bible as their iPhone, as their Bible. That aggravates me. Because I have it on my iPhone, because it's a good quick reference. But that's not your Bible. Your Bible has to look like this. If you look at my Bible, it's a mess a little bit. I have notes, I have footnotes, I have highlights, I have... You know why? Because this, I have to refer back. In your iPhone, it's going to fall, the subway will run over it, and it's over. And you've lost everything. You need a book. I yell at the kids every week, where is your Bible? Oh, you can lend this one from here. That's not the point. The point is this is your manual. It's like buying a car, it comes with a manual. You buy an Audi, and you use the manual from a Chevy. Because, well, I don't, they're all the same. No. You got to stick with the same book. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing. Okay, so please do that. Sorry, I'm preaching something else. But
also, yes, the Psalms are off. Because it's spelled substitution version.
Yes.
Because it's like off by one. So
by one.
But and sometimes I like reading the Psalms from a different Bible, because the translation is...
It's a little easier.
Funny and yeah. Bold.
It's a little easier. You have to read what you're comfortable with, as long as it's a certified, you know, Bible. So you could read the King James, it's fine. But I like the Orthodox Bible, because I like the study and the footnotes, but you just have to be consistent. Like, you can't keep going back and forth, because you'll get confused. But I went too long. But any last minute questions? Just no science questions. Yeah.
Why is the King James Version, like, why did they put it out?
It's all in how they translated it, and someone's perception of what was important and what wasn't important. And that's another history lesson by itself, which one day we could talk about. But.
Why can't man live with dinosaurs?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's a good question. Imagine a 30-foot creature that's running around in the woods.
Okay?
Just no, honestly, imagine that. It's bad enough we have deer that we run over with our cars. Imagine a dinosaur. What a collision that would be. Yeah. Any other questions?
You know, like, then if God knows, like, dinosaurs would harm humans, then why did he create them in the first place?
Let's fly around the house.
Because
we
missed the point. Now, there's a process to everything. God has a plan for everything. Guys, any questions? I just don't want to go into chaos. Any questions? Yes.
Remember, you were trying to think about dark and white. As soon as I get the
God was.